We're going to have our reading now, which is from Psalm 37. We're just reading the first 11 verses. If you wanted to follow it in the church Bibles, it's on page 541. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from evil and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity.
Let's just pray together for David as he brings us God's word. It was a really challenging word last week. Lord, we just thank you so much for this opportunity that we have every week to hear your word. We pray we wouldn't take that for granted. And we pray, Lord, that we would really engage with what we're hearing. We wouldn't just be listening, but there would be transformation going on as we hear your word. We do pray you would challenge us, you would correct us, and you would encourage us, Lord Jesus, as we long to serve you in this church and beyond. Be with David, be with him in his words. May we really have a sense of your Holy Spirit in our midst. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you for leading the service this morning. As Tim said earlier, we are going through this series looking at what we call shape, our kind of life shape, spiritual shape, as it were. And we reached the letter H this week because we were looking at S last week. So last time we were looking at spiritual gifts. If you look underneath the word last time, you will see there is the link for the church website and specifically where you will actually find the sermons under the media tab. If you haven't been there before, go there and you can catch up on what you might have missed. So we were looking at the fact that every single Christian, it's by definition, if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. They therefore come from God. They are as varied as we are ourselves, but we need to use them. Otherwise, we are at risk of losing them, and so on. So have a look there. Remind yourself of what we were looking at last week. One or two little hazards that we also looked at last week. I told you a bit about my own experience. And then you can see the shape of the series itself. So, spiritual gifts, today, heart's desire. Next time, we will be looking at abilities. That's more natural abilities. Tim's already said on the shape day itself, we will specifically look at personality. But we will also have a wider look at everything else as well. And then the following day, the Sunday, we will be finishing off with looking at our life's experiences and how God molds and uses those for his kingdom work as well. That's the general trajectory, as it were, of the series. Now, one of the things I did want to point out a little bit more to you are the books that we made available last week, and in fact they all went, and so I needed to order some more. We got a lot of these study guides, which are essentially intended to be used in a home group, so you might, if you're in a home group, like to make use of these within that group, maybe not right now if you're already doing something else, but at a later date. But why I've made them particularly available is typical out of an American stable, there are pages where you can fill in. And so the idea is, particularly if you're coming to the shape day, there will be space there for us to go through all of these different areas of our lives and either to do it one-on-one with somebody else, having a conversation about what you think about your gifts, your heart's desires and so on, and they can share with you, or do it on your own. But this will be a useful tool to help you with that. You don't necessarily need it, but it would be helpful. And then I'm going to hide this one because basically you don't need to hear me preach if you read the book that's been produced by Eric Ries. Of course, because again it comes from America, a lot of the illustrations there are American. As I'm going through, I'm endeavouring to use personal experience and illustrations either from this country or indeed from our own church here in South Croydon. There is also a DVD. I'm making use of that at the moment, but maybe at the end of the series, a home group again, if you want to make use of it. Short snatches of DVDs, about 15 minutes long, something like that, is all they are, just to open up a conversation and discussion. So this is the material that we are using. Now, last week, you may have felt you were bombarded by Bible passages because there are so many Bible passages on the gifts. There's the three big classic passages, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4, but we also looked at some others as well. We're almost going to the opposite extreme today because we're just looking at one verse. But then that's what the old Victorian preachers often did, wasn't it? They just looked at one verse and said, this is my text, and then off they went for 1 hour, and then they'd turn the hourglass over, and they'd give them another hour as well. We're not going to spend that long on it, but we are going to be really thinking primarily about this verse from Psalm 37 that Diana has already read to us. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So as we look at my heart's desire, your heart's desire, this is where we begin in Scripture, in Psalm 37. He will give you the desires of your heart. So if I were to ask you, what are your heart's desires, I wonder what you might actually say. And I imagine that if I took the microphone around, I would probably get a different answer for every single one of us here. Maybe one or two would be similar, but in reality, all of us would probably have something different that we would have to say. When I first came across that passage years and years ago, I thought that the emphasis was on my desires. He will give you the desires of your heart. And so I thought about the things that interest me in my life. So you'll see one of those that's up is my family, because many of us, the real focus of our life and our attention is our family, our children, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, particularly many of us, the nuclear family, the smaller family group, and that's where so much of our energy and our life and our emotion goes. Some of us are particularly interested in football, and we do have both Arsenal and Chelsea supporters in the church, so I thought I would do my best to find a picture when they were playing each other. Mixed kind of success this weekend. And then I've got a picture at the bottom right of a sailing boat on Lake Michigan going by Chicago. And the reason for that is I particularly remember the material that we're using comes from California, actually, from Rick Warren from Saddleback Church in Orange County there. But there was years ago a lot of stuff that was coming out of a very large church in Chicago called Willow Creek. And a lot of people were particularly thinking about how we could reach the unchurched person through the way that Willow Creek was assisting. But Bill Hybels himself, when he had time free, he's the pastor of this mega church, he loved nothing more than sailing. That was his passion in life. He had a bunch of friends, some of whom were Christians, most of whom who weren't. He just loved going out sailing. That was his particular passion. But Bell would also point out that that's not really what this verse is talking about. The emphasis doesn't begin with what my desires are. It begins with God. Trust in the Lord. Take delight in the Lord. Those were the beginning points of the two phrases in the two verses that we had up from Psalm 37 there. So when we began our worship, thinking about the importance of Mary giving Jesus her undivided attention, but poor Martha being distracted, when we think about the fact that when Jesus calls us to worship God, he doesn't just say, come and give me a little bit of your attention. He says, and I know that the CKs are going through the commandments at the moment, he tells us in command, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. And if that's not enough, all of your soul. And if that's not enough, all of your mind. And keep going, all of your strength. That's the bit that gets me. I often think, Lord, I just don't have the energy. So we have to begin thinking about my heart's desire with, is my heart focused on Jesus? Is my heart focused on God? Because otherwise the rest will be out of kilter. But if we are trusting in the Lord completely because he has our heart, if we delight in the Lord because we know how much we are loved and accepted and received, then there is a place where we can have much joy. And out of that, we then begin to exhibit the very heart of God himself as his heart through his Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about the Holy Spirit being in us. His Spirit then works through us. And there's this lovely proverb, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. When we have got our priority right and there is godliness within, that godliness will also begin to come out. But it will come out also, not simply in worship and praise, but in the way that we then minister. And that's what this is all about. Let's move on to the next slide. So, what it begins to do is it begins to focus us. Our desire that God has then put within us helps define our target. And what really is going on in this psalm when it says, and he will give you the desires of your heart, is it's saying that God will put each one of us in touch with our heart in a way that without him we're not able to, because there's blockages between us and him, and there may be sin and disobedience and stuff that gets in the way. But once we're in that right place, we're in tune with our heart, and God can open up the areas that he wants us to be at work in. And these three questions that we have up here are all relevant to us discovering where our heart's desire lies. So just ask yourself, who do I love serving? So this is thinking about people in particular. What kind of people groups or individuals do I really find when I've come away from that, I really enjoyed that? That was fantastic. Did you know you're allowed to enjoy ministry, by the way? You're allowed to enjoy doing the things that God wants. That, again, is one of the points of this verse. He will give you the desires of your heart. It's not miserable desires, is it? What needs do I love meeting? What do you engage in actually doing and helping? And then you think, wow, that was fantastic. What causes or challenges do we enjoy tackling? And here's another verse from Romans 5. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Again, reminding us the source of what our heart's desire, it comes from God's heart himself. So we saw that in the Old Testament. There it is, Romans 5, in the New Testament as well. Let's move on. So who do we love serving? I have just put up a few examples there. So we've got down here at the bottom left, we've got the food hub. I can't see Brian here today, but Brian is very actively involved in the food hub. He is wanting to reach out to the poor, those people who cannot afford to actually feed themselves and their families. And when we had a meeting this week of the trustees, he brought me a sheet of paper which showed the numbers of people in Croydon that have been referred to the Purley Food Hub just in the last 2 months. It is astronomical, the number of people who are being referred there. He goes there every single Monday because he has a heart for those people and feels that's where God wants him to go. He has a passion for that particular work. Likewise, it's related to the food hub, those who are working with the homeless. Martin, how long have you been working with the floating shelter? That long? I can't remember.
5 years.
5, 6 years. Okay, why do you keep coming back? You don't get much sleep. So Martin's involved in the homeless shelter, the floating shelter. Lee's got involved in that. I'll mention him in a moment a little bit later. But it could be that's not your direction. It could be with young couples. You have a commitment to young couples. You have a love for young couples. You want to encourage and help them to grow. I mentioned up on the top AIDS orphans and Kay Warren. Kay Warren is the wife of Rick Warren, who is the pastor of the Saddleback Church that came up with purpose-driven church and purpose-driven life, and particularly this shape material that I find particularly valuable and useful. Kay Warren, some years ago, read an article about the AIDS orphans in Africa, and she was appalled at the sheer scale of the problem. And it just broke her heart. That is one of the things that God will sometimes do to us. We will find ourselves on an emotional roller coaster. There are those times when there is great joy because we see ourselves being used and we can see the passion that God has given to us for someone, but there will also be equally times of distressing grief because our hearts will be broken by God as we see the world through his eyes. That, again, is what some of this heart is all about, is having God's eyes, God's heart, God's passion for people. Now, of course, God has that passion for absolutely everybody, but he knows we can't cope with that, which is why he tends to give us a passion for individual people. Susie, have you got any idea what this picture is of here? It's Roger's house. Is it a coincidence it's the same surname as mine? No, it's not. My mum and dad were heavily involved for nearly 20 years in the Abbeyfield Society. The Abbeyfield are involved here in Croydon too. When my parents died, they were involved in helping that Abbeyfield Society provide an extra care home, a nursing home facility, which Abbeyfield doesn't normally provide. And after the place was built, a couple who happened to have come from the church that my dad was minister of, she became the matron of the nursing home, and he actually became effectively the CEO of Abbeyfield Kent-wide. Why? Because of the passion that they had for elderly people. It was the passion for elderly people in need and the heart that said there's something wrong when a person who has been involved in the loving Christian community of the Abbeyfield homes that they were in, certainly in the Gillingham, Medway Towns area, they then became needing so much care that they then had to be shunted out. They could no longer stay. And it was that desire that said, we've got to do something about it, that led to this place being built, that couple then getting involved, and they then, until their retirement, were involved in it. So these are just examples. They may not touch your heart, because that's not what God has put in your heart, but that's what he has put into these other people's hearts. So Kay Warren, I was talking about the AIDS earlier, she got on and did something about it and has made a foundation. She goes out to Africa a number of times a year in order to help the AIDS orphans that are now out there. So who do we love serving is the question there. What needs have been met in our own lives? Sometimes God will actually give us a heart or a passion for something because he has actually already done something similar in our lives. I mentioned Lee. Lee is helping Martin from time to time with the floating shelter. One of the reasons he's doing that is because not so long ago, Lee found himself without a roof over his head. He knew what it was like to sofa surf. He knew what it was like not to have a home. And so he wants to help those who are in that situation today. Up on the screen, you will see pictures to do with Christian Family Concern that you know that I'm involved in and is very, very near to the church, just about 100 or 200 metres over in that direction, South Park Hills Road. This picture of the children having their graduation day, I just love it because I've been involved in that. Certainly a couple of summers ago, I was able to go to that, missed it for one particular reason last summer. And this is one of their big pluses, their garden that's going to have some money spent on it in the coming summer. The top two pictures, the one on the left is of Christian Family Concern as it is now. The right-hand building is the Birdhurst Nursery, and the children come here and do their nativity here. And the building behind is for the young mums, young, vulnerable, single mums. Which is one of the other main parts of Christian Family Concern. Christian Family Concern wasn't always called Christian Family Concern. Trish, can you remember its previous name? Mission of Hope. The reason I asked Trish is because Trish was a beneficiary of the support of Mission of Hope. As a very young child, she was actually fostered. Was that building on the right actually the building that you were in?
I was in there when I was a baby.
You were in there when you were a baby. And it's been a tough and challenging time for Tricia recently because the lady who fostered her and loved her and cared for her and countless others, you've got so many brothers and sisters, haven't you, recently died. And so it's been a real tough time because that's the lady that Trish really considers to be the one who demonstrated motherhood to her and was her effective mum. That was through the work of Mission of Hope, which became Christian Family Concern. So as a little tot, Trish received what she needed. Trish, how long have our under fives and under twos been going? It's around about 20 years, I would have thought, isn't it? Much longer than that. Okay, that beats his 5, 6 out of sight. Trish has a heart for those who are tots and little ones that has come out of the experience that she had and of her own needs being met. So she then reaches out in the name of Jesus to others. And if you don't know and haven't been here long, then, well, you just heard it in terms of the length that those groups have been going. They are very, very popular with the mums and the parents and the guardians who come along and make use of them. And Tim and I try to chat and befriend, and Hazel's involved and several others are involved as well from the church. Would it have happened? Well, I don't know. You might still have been given, but this is in a sense is Trisha's timeline. Let's move on. What needs do we love meeting? Now, the picture here is a young lady called Rebecca Sharples. Sue and I, when we were at university donkeys of years ago, had friends in the CU who, like us, met at CU and then got married. They have been working with Wycliffe Bible translators ever since. They went off to Ethiopia. If you're very clever, you will realise that is not Ethiopia up on the screen. Where is it, Alfonso? The map, the flag. I'll help you out. Senegal. Senegal, okay? You can tell because that funny little bit sticking in is Gambia, all right? Which is right by. So this young lady, I was reading in the literature that we get from Wycliffe. She is a postgrad who read an article or saw a program all to do with people in Africa, and she saw the translation work and the subtitles that was needing to be done, and she thought, I wonder who does all the translation work for this program that creates the subtitles. And she found within her heart a desire that grew into a passion, and then she, you know how God then puts coincidences in place. Then she heard about Wycliffe Bible translators. She discovered about an opportunity that she could go for a couple of weeks to find out their ministry and what they do. Now here she is in Senegal working with Bible translators, getting a feel for what it might be like to become a Bible translator amongst one particular people group in Senegal who have not had God's word translated into their own language. But in order to do that, you need a passion. And she has developed that passion. Those are her words. I want to do that, was what she first said when she came across this idea of translating. And then with respect to particularly working with Wycliffe and Bible translators, she said, I had a burning heart and an itching mind. The burning heart to do and follow where God was leading her, the mind to discover what it was and do some digging around. So there may be people groups that God wants us to reach, but then there are specific needs that might be attached to those groups, might be more general as well. And here, this is where actually the books might be quite useful to have a look and have a little bit more idea of what some of those needs are. Some of us will be able to offer spiritual support to people. We maybe offer to them prayer ministry. Evangelism is a particularly spiritual gift, but not necessarily exclusively so. You'll see crossover with all of these. I've already mentioned the food hub and the floating shelter. They clearly meet people's physical needs. And some of us have a real passion to meet people's physical needs and feel we have the ability to meet their physical needs. The next one under relational hospitality does the same thing. There's something very physical about offering someone good quality food and so on. But hospitality is also engaging with people, relating to them. There are several families in the church that I know. They don't make a big fuss about it, but they not infrequently have guests round for a Sunday meal or some other time. Getting to know people. It is so important, this gift of hospitality. It's one of the gifts that was mentioned last week. It is a spiritual gift. Encouraging people. That is related onto the next one, which is emotional. How good are you at listening to people? If you're a good listener, you may well be able to offer a lot of emotional support to other people. If you're not a good listener, well, that may not be your particular area, but I might also encourage you to learn to listen a little bit more from time to time. But if you find that, you may discover that actually you've got the ability to counsel. You may need to learn to train and so on, but you may have that ability. Educational gifts. I've put up a couple of the most obvious, teaching in our CKs or being a home group leader. But those are not the only areas in which we can bring teaching gifts or meeting teaching needs. You might have a particular gift or skill that you can bring to somebody else. I see Francis over there with engineering skills. You don't know who God's going to bring across your path so that you can do some teaching for them. That takes us to the vocational area, which, again, how many of us might be in the position of mentoring somebody? So in our own area of work, or in terms of the way that we have learnt things spiritually, but coming alongside someone so that they can also grow. Wisdom, that is a gift that God gives to so many people. It's difficult when you go through a list, isn't it, to actually capture some of what's going on. But maybe one of those, God's just going into your heart and saying, yes, yes, this is. What causes, this was the third question, what causes do we love conquering? The books talk about conquering. I'm not quite so optimistic. We don't always conquer the causes, but we can certainly tackle quite a few causes and make a difference. I have put up a couple of things. Well, they're kind of related here. Remember that God, in Micah 6:8, talks about acting justly and loving mercy. Justice is a key word, along with righteousness, in the Old Testament. So the word I'm using here to describe all of that is advocacy. That's something that I discovered that I have a particular passion about. I get really angry in my soul when I hear about people who have been treated really badly and poorly. It might only be a church member who got a ticket in the car park opposite the church because when they opened the door, the ticket they had bought flipped over in a gust of the wind, and the council then decided to give them a ticket. And so I wrote a letter to the council and said, you know, just be a bit kind, please. And the ticket was actually dealt with, but don't do it again was kind of the bullying. So here we see a child experience bullying and a man who is suffering as a result of being bullied at work. It happens to adults as much as it happens to children. God gets very angry with those who push with power and push themselves on top of other people. It's a sure way to lose touch with God, to act as a bully. So why have I put a picture of the Chief Constable of Wiltshire Police up there? Because we ran a community project when we were in Salisbury in which an elderly man and his wife came to the church. She was really quite severely ill, and this was the only occasion of the week that she was actually able to come out. And in our community project and the little lunch that we did, she felt that she was accepted and that she wouldn't be in any way looked down upon because of the nature of her difficulties, her challenges and her disability. Her husband had got his own issues and challenges. And as a result of that, his communication skills with other people were extremely clumsy. One day, he put his wife in the car. She had become in need of so much care that she had to go to a nursing home. So he'd been collecting her from the nursing home and still bringing her out to our centre. One day, he put her in the car and he drove her home. And between her going in the car and getting home, she died in the car. Now, I want to ask you, how distressing is that going to be for a 70-year-old husband to lose his wife whilst he's driving the car? Unfortunately, because of his clumsiness in his communication skills, the staff at the nursing home had taken against him. So when his wife turns up at the nursing home, no longer alive, they immediately called the police. And he was kept in a cell in the police station without his medication, without access to any help, without any drink, without any food for over 12 hours. Now, I'm not knocking the police. I've got a relative who is in the police force. But he was not treated justly, kindly, or with mercy. I got very angry about that. And I would not let it go. In fact, the police were very defensive about it and were, you know, would not play ball with me. So in the end, I did two things. I engaged the local MP and then I made an official complaint. And the reason that the Chief Constable of Wiltshire Police is up there is because, although at the end of all of this story, my official complaint was, because they defined the complaint how they wanted to define it, not how I had defined it, was therefore dismissed. I then got a letter from the MP, by which time actually we had moved up to the East Midlands. I got this letter from the MP to say, David, do not worry, because actually I know that that whole process stirred a whole load of things within the police force that made them realise they had got things wrong. So we may think sometimes that when we try and do something, we can't see the results. We don't know what's going on. But God does know what he is wanting to achieve. So that may not be your cause. That may not be the thing that really gets you going and you've got a passion about. But I ask your question, what then are the causes? What are the things that you get passionate about? So let's conclude. The slide up there, I hope you recognise, is the father in the parable in Luke 15, the prodigal son. Here is the son coming back in desperate need, but the thing about the parable is the heart of the father, the compassion of the father, filled with compassion, is how Jesus describes the heart of the father. Then think about Jesus himself. I have, those of you who've been here as long as I've been here and longer, will know one of my favourite New Testament Greek words is splanchnizomai. Don't you just love the way that comes out? You need your diaphragm to say it. It actually gets into your guts, and that's what the word means. It's talking about gut-wrenching. And Jesus, when he uses this word, the Father filled with compassion, when we read the rest of the Gospels, we see Jesus filled with splanchnizomai. And that's what he wants in us, a passion and a compassion, and a heart's desire that goes out like his heart does as well. And when our heart is in tune with his heart, then we discover that he will give us our heart's desires, because our desires are in tune with him. We're seeking what he wants. When we seek what he wants, he achieves what he wants. But the miraculous thing is, he achieves it through us, as we make ourselves willingly available to him. So God has given us a heart. We, all of us, have got unique desires. Our heart points us to maybe a focus group, maybe a particular need, maybe both of those. And those needs, I try to give you a list, can be met in a number of different ways. All I'm asking is, where is your heart? And what has God put in your heart and my heart? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the passion and compassion that you have. And we simply pray that you will stir our hearts. Last week we thought of the phrase that Paul used to Timothy, fan into flame. Lord, will you fan into flame our hearts with the desires that you have already put in there, but which perhaps we hadn't noticed. Clear away all the detritus. Let your spirit breathe within each one of us until we recognize those desires you have put within us. And then, like that young lady, may we not simply have that desire burning within us, but the itch to find out more and get engaged in those things you want us to do. Father, lead us by your Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.